the testing team, hearing from the testing team as they have been on the front lines here. And so they can help provide us with some facts about the landscape of COVID on island right now. And I want to really keep it about the facts and not about anecdotal stories or judgment or anything of that basis, just so that we can really get a sense of, from the testing team, what the landscape is and how we can best respond. And then in that light, what kind of communication can come out from the town around this as it relates to, I think Erica Newman had sent an email about, you know, just some bullet points about what that might look like around facts and contact tracing and resources for testing and masking and kind of reminding us some of the basic things that we were really, I think, entrenched in a year ago, and just kind of bringing some of those basics back to the forefront. And then I want to touch base too around resources at our disposal. Again, if there are things that we want to look at in terms of mask distribution or what our supplies are like, what the testing team might need in terms of additional volunteer in term for ferrying samples over, you know, if that group needs some additional support to do their work. And those are the three primary things I want to talk about tonight, or tonight, this afternoon. As a reminder, we're, you know, CART's really not able to make any kinds of recommendations about how organizations or businesses should conduct their establishments. So we're really here to work with the town side and to help resource the town and any of those kind of communication pieces. So are there portions of the agenda from the committee folks that we need to make sure to cover?
Did you want me to?
I think if there's nothing else, I think we'll start off with Nancy then.
Okay, I've been the testing team this last week, and it's been kind of busy. It's been a little hectic and doing both the rapid test and the PCR tests. Right now, I still have 8 tests pending results. So it's hard to say exactly how many people. I do know for sure that there are 6 people on the island who are presently positive, and I think possibly 4 more. But what I counted earlier, I think I double counted positives, I mean two different, the rapid and the PCR in the same patient, which made it look like more, but there were 3 families that are heavily, three families that are active in the community, that have children, that do all kinds of things around, and their families are pretty much been hit. Mostly because children can't get vaccinated, I think, because all the adults who tested positive were vaccinated. None of them have been really sick. None of them have been hospitalized. One of them was sicker than the rest, but nobody's been, his life is threatened.
Thanks, Nancy.
And my supplies are running out. I've got 2 rapid tests left and 3 of the test tube ones. I can get some more of the test tubes from Jenny's house.
Thanks. That was going to be my next question, was to be, you know, what resources you currently have.
There are enough test tubes that, but I have to break into a house. But the rapid tests were almost completely out.
Nancy, do you have a source for those to get those?
I don't know where to get them. I don't know how to get them. I was not, the doctor from Long Island helped us get the first box we got. And the last 2 boxes, I think Jenny got somehow. She said she's ordered some and she was surprised they weren't here yet. So I'm going to go over to her house this afternoon and get some of the test tubes, and maybe they've been delivered there or something.
Would it be possible, if you can't find any and you need them, to call Long Island? Maybe they could lend us some and we could repay them.
Yeah,
You know, we could.
I'm following from another island seems like taking resources from someone who doesn't have a resource source.
Well, I mean, we don't know. They could have had a big box. All I'm saying is it would be an option while we're waiting.
I was going to check with some of the, well, I'm going to find out where, I'm going to talk to Jenny and find out where she's waiting it from, where okay. she's waiting to arrive them from, and call there and find out where the heck they are, and can somebody pick them up.
Great, thanks, Nancy. Are there committee members who have questions for Nancy right now?
The Zoom is at 3.
Eliza, was that your hand?
Yes, I was unmuting. Thank you. Can you talk about contact tracing and what needs to be done there?
Well, I'm not really sure who initiates the contact tracing. What I have been doing is what I've been instructed to do. Dr. Cox Chapman said that was right. I tell patients that you're infected, you need to go home, you need to isolate from other people, you need to let people you've been close to know, and you need to call your primary care physician and ask them what they want you to do and take directions from them. And I'm not sure who contacts the people who do the contact tracing. We're supposed to be kind of doing a, I mean, people should be doing their own, so to speak, but there is a contact tracing agency, and I'm not sure, a branch of CDC, I believe. I don't know how that gets initiated.
I can't figure out how to raise my hand right now, but I was a contact tracer last year, stopped at the end of April. I've been invited back again to be a contact tracer. I actually became a monitor. So I'm sorry, I'm Debbie, for those of you that don't know me. I know that what happens is when there's a positive case, the state gets the report. Then they send that report to case investigators. Case investigators then make the initial phone call. And then from there, the contact tracers are calling anybody that's been listed by the positive case to the case investigator. And a really good resource to give people when you make, you know, making phone calls or, you know, or telling them that they're positive is to go to the CDC website. And then on that website, it does list very clearly what they can and cannot do. You know, because if they're vaccinated, it's different than someone that's not vaccinated. And, you know, with a vaccinated person, they're supposed to wait 3 days, 5 days, and test 3 days, 5 days, and things like that. So, and also CDC has really great resources that they can email out to people. So that would be my recommendation if they have not been, and with the backlog as it is right now with, you know, 600 cases a day, it may be a while before they are actually contacted by a contact tracer or a monitor. So I just would refer them also to that CDC website. And also, if it's somebody that's not very tech savvy, like can't figure out how to raise their hand, they can also call the 800 number. Or the 211 main number will put people in contact with the other people too. So giving them that 211 number, which is easy to remember, and the CDC website gives them a lot of information at their, you know, immediate disposal.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Could I ask Nancy a question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nancy, so what Deb just said made me start to think about it. So there's a difference. If say, I'm just making up a scenario, okay? Say in my house, I have my family here and somebody has COVID and I don't have it yet, but I'm vaccinated. How long would I have to stay? Would the person who has COVID have to test negative before I could be out in public?
I don't think so. I don't know the answer to that. With this whole COVID thing, there's a whole with the Delta variant and all of that. All the rules have changed, and that's why I really wasn't sure what I'm telling people to do right now. I think washing our hands as much as we did last March and April. I I know how to avoid it because it's very cryptic the way it's getting into people. People who are vaccinating it are spreading it to people, and so they think.
I just wondered if there was a protocol for, you know, people who are in the same household. I know earlier on, with at least with my family, my son's family, if they were exposed, somebody in the family was exposed, they all had to stay home. This is before vaccine.
Right, but now, Jenny probably knows the answer. Jenny, do you know the answer?
Around there, so maybe that's one of the facts that we, it's one of those things that we should probably research and have on a fact sheet on how that all works.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can hear you, Jenny.
So if somebody's gotten infected, they may still continue to have a positive PCR test, even though they're no longer contagious, because I can't explain the physiology of that very well, but no, to answer your question, no, they don't need to have a positive test, but they do need to have followed the protocol to have been in isolation for 10 days. Maybe Deb Weiss can answer with a little bit more updated information post-vaccine, but my understanding is that's still what we need to do.
Yeah, so I'm looking quickly at the CDC website, and it says, trying to see. I may not be in the right place here for it, but.
I've been having a heck of a time finding answers like that on their website. I know all the answers are there, but.
I know, I read a sheet the other day. I'm just trying to think.
So this might be something to research and put into a communication, any communication that goes out.
I think that's a really good idea, Melissa, that, you know, when we get to that point of communication, if somebody could be keeping a list of things that we need more information on, because this seems like nobody really knows the answer to this. And this is a big question, because, for example, in my house, somebody, I might be fine today, but I may be asymptomatic, and I'm out running around, and I've got two people at home who actually have been diagnosed. So not that I do have.
What it's saying is, if you've had close contact with someone who has COVID-19, you should get tested 3 to 5 days after your exposure, even if you don't have any symptoms. You should wear a mask indoors in public for 14 days following exposure until the test result is negative. So once they've hit that second test on the fifth day, you know, then they can go back out in public. It says you should isolate for 10 days if your test result is positive. So that's even for fully vaccinated people.
Right.
Great. Thank you. So Matt, and then Michael, and then Mary.
I was just going to say what Deb just said. So this is something that I've had to unfortunately research pretty thoroughly with employees that have had close contacts. And so I was just going to read exactly the page that Deb read. So, yeah.
Great. Thanks. Yeah, Michael.
There's an extensive FAQ, which may be what Deb was reading from, that you can download from the CDC page. And you can download it from the front page of the CDC website that covers a lot of these questions. I just grabbed it. So I urge anybody to do that. You ought to make it available somehow in the town.
So it's good that that's pretty easily accessible. And that might be a place that, again, if we're creating a communication document, that make sure that gets in there. Mary.
Oh, well, let me see. Am I unmuted? Yes. I was going to ask Deb to do the same thing. Share the site on which she found that information so we could have that and include it in our communication. But also, I typed something that is important to me and many people who might be listening. What safety recommendations regarding gatherings outside and inside can we share with the greater community? Because we need to consider the celebration of life that we have planned for Ginny. Many people will want to attend. We don't know how this will progress. The last thing Ginny would want is for her celebration of life to be a super spreader.
Right.
We need good information. We need accurate information to be able to make any kinds of decisions. Obviously, people have already thought, I mean, Barb Ballard's going to be in charge of acquiring masks and a sanitizer. But in terms of numbers and how we set up, and you know, we're hoping people will gather together in pods at the luncheon. Tables, chairs won't be set up in advance, or you know, tables will, but people can take their chairs and go with friends. Truly, we need information that we can discuss. There's a small team. I know you've already met with Tartar, Melissa. So you know he's in charge. And I just want, he might be on today, I don't know.
Tartar's here.
Yay, thank you, Tartar.
And I'm happy to have those conversations too, as the date gets closer. And I think it's an important reminder of those safety protocols and guidelines, and how do we make those decisions. So we can talk a little bit more about those guidelines, I think, when we get to our communication. I wanna make sure that we have covered questions for Nancy about the testing piece first, and just the current landscape of what we're facing here on Island first, before we start getting into that, any kinds of communication stuff that might go out.
Okay, thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. David, and then I'll see if there's any other questions from committee members before we see if there's questions from the public.
Yeah, comments. I just want to pass on a question that came in over the Zoom. Erica's asking, can Matt or Deb and or Deb post to this group the links that that you found most helpful?
Sure, on my part, yeah.
Thanks. I think you can put them right into the
chat. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Are there any other comments about the testing piece or questions to put to Nancy from the committee members before I take some questions or comments from the public on the testing piece?
Just to give people the update, Nancy and I had talked this morning, and we're down to just two rapid tests, but I talked to Dennis McCann over on Long Island. They have more rapid tests they could share with us. It's their only box, and the problem with rapid tests is that it comes with just one little bottle of the developer for the whole box of rapid tests. So it's not like they can just send over 10 and keep 10 themselves. That one bottle of developer has to go for the whole box. So I don't want to have it, you know, not available to them. I ordered a new box, and when nothing came, I ordered another new box, and still nothing has come. So I need to contact somebody at the state, and my notebook is at home, and I'm at Moosehead Lake now, but I'll be back Wednesday. And the question is if this needs to be handled before Wednesday, since we have two rapid tests left. Rapid tests are for people with symptoms, and I understand there's been a big testing request list now related to people who were exposed to somebody who was told they were positive, but not a lot of symptomatic people. So we do have a lot of PCR test tubes. I got, you know, I don't know, I have probably 75 or 80 at my house because I ordered 100 and gave a bunch of to Nancy before I left. So we should have 80 or so at my house. And Nancy has a couple of those and could get more at my house if she needed them again before I get home Wednesday.
Jenny, just said, and this is what I understood, we should only do it on people with symptoms. But from what Deb just read, they're saying anybody who's been exposed should have a test 3 days after exposure with or without symptoms, which would mean that we would have been all out of tests by now because I turned down people who had no symptoms.
Well, let's have Deb clarify. I think she means the PCR test, or did you mean the rapid test?
No, the rapid test. She said the rapid test should be for anybody after 3 days, whether or not they have symptoms.
It actually does not clarify if it's PCR or rapid test. I believe that they're going to say rapid test, although the PCR is the gold standard. But it doesn't say, it just says from the site that I just read anyhow, it just says test at day 3 and day 5, hoping for a negative. So you'd need clarification on that.
It would be the whole island getting tested.
Yeah, we don't have that. It's hard to get those rapid tests.
How many people were concerned about things because they walked by these people who they've heard had it. And people,
So well, I think that's clarity on is whether it's PCR or rapid. Although it does sound like we do have, would there be enough PCR tests for those who have requested that they need it? Okay.
Yeah, that's no problem.
And I think there's, I think there's still ample room for judgment about on the fact of the people doing the testing and the test supply on the island for the nature of the exposure. It's really, I know this Delta variant is more contagious than others, but really you've got to have, we've got to go back to the sort of basics of what is an exposure, and walking by someone on the road or, you know, being anyway, a long distance from someone doesn't qualify as an exposure.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And this is a little bit uncharted ground because of this thing is so contagious, but we're also in a whole different environment than we were before because the vast majority of people who are getting exposed have been vaccinated. I know there are exceptions, but the vast majority are people who've been vaccinated.
Right. I think a really important part of our communication that we need to put out to the town, because I've had two calls about this, is people say, you know, I've talked to somebody who says, why should I get the vaccine if COVID is spreading just as much among vaccinated people? And we really need to get the message out that the vaccine is keeping people from getting seriously ill and hospitalized. So everybody should still get the vaccine. I think that's got to be a key message.
So are there any other, I'm going to shift to the public now about the testing, if there's no other comments from the committee. And this is just on the testing piece. And Donna, you had your hand up.
I just wanted to clarify, there was confusion last week about whether or not there was any funds available for the testing team. And to just to let everybody know, there's about 5,500, and this is not a town project, this is a church project. And I checked with Lynn Priest, who is the treasurer of the church. And so there is plenty of money. It sounds to me it's not a quick case of money, it's a case of supply and demand. But anyway, just to dispel that rumor that's been going around.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. So are there folks from the public who have comments or questions just on this testing piece that we've talked about? And it's if you could use the raise hand feature, since I know there are so many folks on the Zoom here. And I want to make sure that I think my internet's blipping in and out. So hang on.
I have a question, and I don't know how to use a raised hand.
That's all right. Go for it.
Okay. I was just wondering, with children right now and with not being able to be vaccinated, some of them who are either asymptomatic or have one or two symptoms, or that just last for a short period of time.
I can't understand.
Call for testing on that, because I know with the school and kids place, we're all testing daily, at home as a precautionary quarantine measure because my children are with other children, and that is totally normal and what we're supposed to do as community.
Emily, try turning off your video, and that might help your audience.
Can you hear me?
That might help.
It's better, yeah.
Did it freeze?
I'm gonna have to mute.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter.
Can you guys hear me?
That's so much better.
Much better.
Okay, perfect. I just with the possible exposure. Oh, perfect. With the possible if a child is showing like one or two symptoms, just being concerned as to when to test them and when to quarantine because of possible exposures. We're doing a precautionary quarantine right now. We'll be ending tomorrow. And if they, so I tested, for example, my son Ari, and it was a negative rapid test at home. Yeah. So I was just curious, should I be testing after exposure? Should I test him more than once, or is one negative rapid test enough to return? Or because I did it 3 days after, but then he ended up with a headache, and that's the only thing. So I'm just trying to make sure I'm doing all the right things for myself and for the kids that I come into contact with.
So I think you got garbled there again, just to make, oh, sorry, go for it, Nancy.
No, I don't really know the answer. I think that that Dr. Cox Chapman might be a better person to answer that.
I had a little trouble with the transmission. The interval after there's been an exposure for testing someone is 3 days after, because it takes you that long if you're going to contract it to start having a significant viral load. So that's one thing to keep in mind, that there's no point in testing before 3 days, but I'm not sure that's what you were really asking. So can you try it again?
Yes. So what I'm saying is if I develop one or two symptoms after a negative rapid test.
Yeah.
But the test is coming back negative and they've had exposure. Should I be testing again?
So someone's had an exposure, they have symptoms.
Administered.
They've had an exposure, they have symptoms, the test comes back negative. And what interval should you test again? Some of it would depend on the resolution of the symptoms, if they go away completely, but I would think another maybe 2 to 3 day interval would be appropriate. I don't actually know the official answer to that question, but I can get it for you.
Yeah, and in terms of contact tracing, what Jim said is absolutely the protocol that they were following. You know, with Delta, things are still changing on a daily basis. So, but one thing I know what we used to do in contact tracing was if you have more than one symptom, assume that you're positive. Is that symptom something that is uncommon for you this time of year? I mean, there's lots of ways to look at the symptom, but I would certainly say, from what I'm reading, you test it 3 days from exposure and you test it 5 days from, you know, and hopefully they're both negative.
Right.
Melissa, Erica has something in the chat box.
Yep, I see her. I'll read it out so that everyone can hear it. So Erica asks, what is the public information regarding the current COVID situation on the island? In the beginning, 3 linked cases was officially outbreak. Now I've heard is 6 linked cases. Through the grapevine, I've heard we have at least 8 cases all linked. 1, how do we ascertain what is public? 2, what would the school, kids' place, commons be willing to share what they are doing in response? Or is this all private information? Does it matter to this group if we use the word outbreak? That's a really good question. And I think that also kind of dovetails into some of the communication around this. I don't know if you were on, Erica, when Nancy shared the information about the tests that are presently positive and possibly 4 more. So there were 6 presently positive, possibly 4 more. Is that correct, Nancy?
Yeah, and there was still, I mean, I had one of the people I thought was going to be negative was positive today. So that was a big surprise. So I
would say that in terms of what's public information, I mean, you can go to the CDC, main CDC website and find case counts by zip code. So the conversation that we're having at this level is, you know, this isn't private information per se. I think it gets to private information once we start talking about individuals and their specific situations. So that's part of the dynamic here. We on the island love to share stories. We're all related and interconnected, and we want to care for each other and make sure everyone's okay. But when it comes to what's public information, that's the piece that we, I think, can be dealing with. I am aware that the school sent a communication on Friday, and I'm guessing that's what Anne's hand is up about. So I'll turn it over to her to share that piece of news.
Yes, hi. What the school can share and what they can't share, we can't share names of people who have contacted us and believe that they've been exposed. We do work with the families that have been directly exposed. I also contact the nurse at the for Yarmouth and work with her as well. We send out parents that are concerned have emailed me personally, well, to my school email, and I respond back with basically a couple flyers from the CDC that help the parent make informed decisions. I've gotten some parent calls that say, student X, I believe student X has just been diagnosed with positive. They were on the same bus with my child. What do I do? I talked to the nurse over it. I talked to a school nurse and get information. But if it's I call it a secondary contact, somebody has it and somebody has tested positive. Another person walks by them, and then I walk by that person that walked by that other person. I'm not considered a close contact. I'll have my, it also depends on whether or not you're vaccinated, whether or not you've got your mask on, how long you've been there, and how long you've been near them, and yeah, the amount of time. So we're working with families that reach out and tell us that they have it, and also work with families who just want questions asked. Answered. So whoever wants, I'm not a wealth of information. I only have what comes over on CDC from the CDC. But I can also call people and find out the answers to people's questions. My email on Friday was just to send it out to the parents, just to let them know that we're aware of it and we're not scared of it, but we're working with it. And anything else that you want to add, Melissa, you can do that, because you and I communicated about communicating.
Yep. I have to say, I was one of the parents who says, like, I'm aware of this situation. Can you tell me what the school is doing? And I think that's one of the best things that can happen is that direct kind of communication between folks who are concerned and who have questions.
Yeah, because I, to be 100% honest, you know, and I think I kind of said, I said this kind of in a roundabout way to you, Melissa, but if you're a family that's not impacted, I'm not going to reach out to you. But if you want information, and what you did is you just kind of jump-started me to say, okay, there's a lot of information out there. Get out ahead of it a little bit, Anne. And so we sent the email to the pre-K to five parents.
So does that address some of your questions, Erica? I'm trying to think of, I was just looking back here through all of the different pieces you were asking. And I'm guessing this question is probably to Anne. Has there been any talk of a baseline test of the children and the staff if there were enough rapid or PCR tests?
No, there has not been any talk.
My daughter, who's a school teacher in Denver, got a big box of the rapid tests from her principal and was told to test every kid every morning. And that's what they've been doing. Sounds expensive, but.
Yeah.
And to say, I don't think we quite have the resources for for that kind of testing. So just to, Eliza Jane, and then we'll move a little bit to more towards the communication from the town and what that might look like before we get to.
Thank you. My question is, have we done enough testing to make sure that the enough people who need to be tested have been tested? Thank you.
I think we have. I haven't refused any test on anybody who's 3 days out with symptoms. I mean, getting tested doesn't prevent you from getting it. And some people seem to think it does. But I guess you get early detection, it's preventing the spread. But I don't know. I'm hoping this is going to be blowing over really quickly.
I think being able to have a meeting like this where we can just re-familiarize ourselves with the basics of masks, distancing, awareness of the Delta variant and what's an exposure and when do I need to be worried? I think having this conversation and making sure we're all on the same page is hopefully going to be part of getting back to baseline with all this. Yeah, Deb and then Jim.
I was just going to say, I do think, though, people need to know just how transmissible Delta variant is. It's, 100 times more contagious than COVID before. And I think I'm hearing from a lot of the public, I'm vaccinated, so I'm not going to get as sick. In Maine, the last numbers I saw, 109 breakthrough cases that were hospitalized, 36 of those people died. That's a third. So I do think 109 breakthrough cases where they were hospitalized, 36 of those people died. So I do think people need to get the message that even though you're vaccinated, we do have to keep the yourself, your family and the community protected. And so we're gonna take steps backwards.
To do that, yep. Yeah, thanks, Jim.
So I'd like to follow up, Deb, thank you, it's Deb, right?
Yes.
Who just spoke, yeah. Because you're looking at the same numbers I'm looking at. And these numbers, this is just to put this in perspective. I agree with you. We absolutely need to impress people that they need to take precautions. However, I think this is very different than what we were facing last winter, because again, the vast majority of people are vaccinated. So if you look at the numbers that you, from the source you just quoted, there have been 44,000 cases since vaccines have been available. So that means the vast majority of them were people who weren't vaccinated, but in Maine, there've been 44,000. 2,200 of those were breakthrough cases of, so that's 5% were breakthrough cases. Of that 5%, 109 people have been hospitalized. And then there've been 36 deaths with those people, those vaccinated breakthrough people who were hospitalized, 36 deaths. This is very similar to, and again, maybe not a scientific source, but I think a very reliable article I read in the New York Times, that your risk of getting a breakthrough case of COVID is around 5%. So that's one thing. And there's just no question that a lot of these people who, especially the ones hospitalized, are elderly, have the breakthrough ones, complications, other, you know, they're a very high risk group. And I think that's what explains the 36 deaths out of the 109 hospitalizations for that. So I think caution is totally appropriate, but in general, the message that if you are vaccinated, and this is again gets back to Jenny's point about plugging the vaccine, if you are vaccinated, the high likelihood is that you will get a more trivial encounter with COVID that probably won't involve a hospitalization than you would have if you don't get vaccinated. So I think that has to be, there's both caution and reassurance for those who are vaccinated in the messaging. I hope that's clear. If there are any questions, anyway.
Yeah, thanks for walking us through and breaking that down that way. Matt.
Yeah, so I mean, like everybody, I have questions about this and where it's going. And but one of the things that I'm kind of wondering about is with vaccinated people, and specifically I'm thinking about, you know, the resiliency of CTC's operations here, and with the CDC quarantine guidelines and so forth. It seems like even with, you know, the very high majority of CTC employees being vaccinated, there's a big potential for breakthrough cases, even if they're not going to become serious with our employees, and they're going to be sort of minor sicknesses. With quarantining for 10 days after a diagnosis there, you know, it seems to me there's possibilities of you know, having a really hard time continuing the service if we get into a real outbreak on the island. So I guess what I'm looking for, and I don't know if anybody can answer this, is, you know, if somebody is vaccinated, like what are their chances of getting COVID if they're in close contact? Is it 5%? You know, say if I'm vaccinated and I'm living in a household with you know, unvaccinated children that contracted COVID, is it likely that I'm going to have it or get it too? Or is it likely that I'm going to get it but not get really sick from it? You know, so just beyond just being hospitalized, what are the chances of actually contracting it and needing to go into quarantine, I guess? I'm not, very unclear question, I'm sure.
Jim, are you responding to that? You're on mute though.
Can I take a stab at that?
Yeah.
I think it gets back to the other issue that we're talking about, is the nature of the exposure. If you think about someone who, a kid who comes down with trivial symptoms, and what kid doesn't have trivial symptoms most of the time anyway, and they're living in close proximity in the house with the parents, there's that's a significant exposure. If you're just talking about, you know, socially distant, masked, socially distant half the time, be outside as much as you can on the boat and things like that, that's a whole different aspect. And so that the former one would be more high likelihood of exposure. The latter one would be down in the 5% category. And I guess those, I haven't reviewed them in a while, but the quarantining recommendations are probably the ones we were using last winter. And I agree with you, that could have a major, a chance to crimp your being able to staff the boat. I don't know if that's a helpful answer or not, but anyway.
It is a helpful answer. I guess it's at some point, it seems like to me that this is probably not really going to go away. And eventually we're going to have to get to the point where we're kind of living with COVID to a certain extent, where we're mitigating risks as best we can with personal protective equipment, like just wearing masks and so forth. But like an asymptomatic person who had a close exposure, who's vaccinated, and is that person, is the CDC going to continue to? And if it makes everything, safe, I guess it's what should happen. But is the CDC going to continue to kind of require that person is quarantined for 10 days before they return to work?
Yeah, I don't. Wait a minute. Unmute. Sorry, I don't know the answer to the quarantining question. That there are some studies which indicate that the people who are vaccinated, they may have a viral load, it's less than the unvaccinated people, and they clear it much quicker. So again, I haven't reviewed the recent quarantining recommendations. I don't know if, back to Deb's point, I don't know if there are any yet, because this is a changing picture. And I can just tell you my attitude personally last year was, I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself from getting COVID, because it's a crapshoot if you get this illness and you're not vaccinated. Now that I'm vaccinated, and Delta is on the scene, and again, I'm not giving up here, but I'm kind of saying, it might be inevitable that I get this, but if I do, being 70 years old and being reasonably healthy, it's likely that I will not be hospitalized. It will not be severe. I'm not going seeking for it. I'm wearing masks whenever I go to the mainland. I'm wearing, and indoors, I'm wearing masks, et cetera. But anyway, that may end up being the reality with this Delta. The way we're going to get rid of this is to have more and more people vaccinated, because the data still shows that the transmission is less likely to occur in a 100% vaccinated environment.
Thanks. Donna, you have your hand.
I think we're at a point where, and it's kind of to follow up on what Jim just said, that we have to take personal responsibility, because I think we were all so excited when we got vaccinated and thought we could go back to our other life. And that's not the case. I mean, I had a call from my daughter yesterday, who everybody knows is in Malaysia, and where it's a whole different thing. And she basically gave us a lecture about what we should be doing now for the next week. And she said, if everyone on Shabig stayed home for 7 days, this thing would be over. But that's not practical. As Matt says, we have people who have to keep working. And I have friends who just poo-pooed the idea after you were vaccinated that they ever had to wear a mask again. And now they are saying, I guess I need to wear a mask, especially when I go to town. But the fact that we have had three families involved, many of whom were already vaccinated, shows that it does, you can catch it if you have close contact, and it does show it's on Shabig. So I don't think we can just say when we go to the mainland. I think we have to be careful and follow all those protocols we were following last winter.
Great, thanks, Donna. Nancy, and then I'm actually gonna propose a little bit shift in gears here. Nancy, did you wanna jump in?
I just wanted to say that the children, it looks like the cases on Chibig were started from unvaccinated children. But the adults who got it were all vaccinated.
So I would think that that's not an official statement per se.
No, but I think that if we get the kids vaccinated, when the kids get vaccinated, I think the problem will go away a lot more than it is now because of the fact that I know that two of the families on Chibig started with the child.
So I think the way I want to work things is actually do the communication piece last, because I think the conversation around resources, what do we need, you know, what do we have on hand, do we need to talk about mass distribution, you know, some of those things can I think be incorporated into a communication. So I want to make sure we have our resources and our questions and things that we need to kind of investigate lined out first before we start talking in more details around what kind of communication should come from the town and what element should be included in that. And to the resources, we've kind of touched on the tests, you know, needing more rapid tests in particular, but just making sure we have access to tests, making sure that the testing team has resources, you know, beyond just the financial, but also the people, because that is a lot for Jenny and Nancy to take on, any additional resources that they might need. And then in terms of masks what are KN95, I know at our last meeting, we had talked about the KF94s as well. And so those are the two things that I think we need to kind of have a handle on before we move to communication. So if you want to start with masks. Yeah, Elijah Jane.
Well, I again want to say thank you to the town. We have there is a good supply of masks that I've been distributing as a citizen to people and organizations that have been in need. So there are disposable masks available that have been purchased by the town. I've probably handed out 1,200 since the 1st of August. Also, there's a supply of KN95s available and N95s. So I would actually propose supplies of KN95s be made available to all Islanders. Those should be available at places where they can be handed out. I think it's important that they're in places where somebody says, I would like a KN95 or a couple of them, and they're given to those people so that there's some sort of control. I think in the past, we had bags available and people could just take what they needed. But I would propose the KN95s be available at the town office, at the library, and I've had an approval from that from Peter Rice. I think they should be available at the rec center. And again, that's been approved by Steve. And they should be available anywhere else, we can talk about that. But I think having ready access for Islanders to KN95s is a step in the right direction. So I'm just really waiting to get a green light from this committee and or Justin. From the town to move ahead and do this.
Ann, you want to weigh in as well?
Yeah, I think that we have a great supply of the KN95s. They are not practical for the teachers, and Eliza Jane and I spoke about this morning at 6:30 this morning. That they're not practical for teachers to teach in all day. But we went out and we purchased, I think 5,000 or 500 of these for the teachers so that they can be disposable. The kids come to school and they are masked up and they wear their mask all day. If we could request anything from the town or whoever, is if we could get a bunch of these for kid size. We only have the adult size because after lunch or whatnot, the kids get goopy and their cute little mask that they're wearing from home is not really effective. And we'd like to give them a disposable one for the rest of the day. That's all.
Great. So masks available. I think that's a great idea, having masks handed out at places, library, rec. I think just kind of catching up on the chat here. Donna's going to bring up the distribution of them at the Historical Society. Polly suggested maybe being in touch with Julie about having some at the store. I would certainly support having them available at the church if we're having a indoor or outdoor worship gathering, that might be another place that folks could pick them up as well. So I think that it sounds like we're in a good place with our masks.
Yeah. Melissa, my questions was about hand sanitizer. I know that that I asked Eliza Jane, and we don't have any more of the hand sanitizer that goes into the machines, but I wondered, do we have any kind of a stockpile of bottles of hand sanitizer, or do we have money to buy any hand sanitizer?
I think that's a Justin question, because all of those gallons of hand sanitizer were purchased with the Keep Maine Healthy grant. So that would be a town question, unless each organization, but I think this begs a larger question, which is we've been really able to ride on the coattails of the Keep Maine Healthy grant funding and organizations doing it. So at some point, does the town take on some of that expense to keep the public safe, or is it up to each organization?
This is Jenny. I just want to jump in and say that, you know, we got the recompense money for the testing team, and we haven't needed as much of that since we went with, you know, free testing supplies through the CDC. We've used a lot of the money to help fund the vaccination clinics and, you know, things around that, and also the courier services to get the tests up to the state lab. But since we have 5,500, I think you said, Donna, left over, or Melissa,
yeah.
That some of that should go to some of these other things that are needed, because it's all for the same cause.
So I think, sorry, go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I guess the question is, okay, so who would be in charge of ordering and distributing it? I guess, yeah, Justin, you're on here. What is your thought?
Well, the town money is expended at this point, so I think whoever is holding the money should probably be ordering the supplies.
Thanks, Justin. So it sounds like then that would be, I mean, so the church has been the fiscal agent for the testing team, but I know that also the testing team, that's a big an additional burden for that piece. So I want to make sure that there's enough people power for folks if the funds are going to also be used for things like hand sanitizer.
I just had a great idea. There's no reason why the town couldn't apply to recompense for a $500 mini grant, which would buy a ton of hand sanitizer. Justin, what do you think of that idea?
So, dollars, but I didn't know where it was coming from.
I couldn't hear you.
I heard you say $500, but I didn't hear where it was coming from.
Yeah, from we can apply to recompense for a mini grant, and they turn them around like in 24 hours.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we could do that. It would be easy enough to handle.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Would we have to have any kind of approval, or can you just do that? It's only $500.
I can probably do that for a small amount.
Okay, we could talk tomorrow.
I think I'm pretty sure that the town warrant has a general grant article, so we should be able to take that money in and spend it without town meeting. Let me double check.
Okay.
So it sounds like, you know, being able to replenish hand sanitizer applies. We've got masking pretty much covered. I think the crux of this though is testing and being able to have a good support for the testing team. So I want to have you guys weigh in on what you folks need in the midst of all this.
Jenny, I we've got enough tubes. Jenny, do we have any more gloves? Because I had to buy a box of gloves myself last week.
When we were winding down and disbanding the testing team, I gave all the leftover supplies to the commons that we had gotten from the Maine Emergency Medical Management. So, you know, I know that why don't we look at that with Amy, and, you know, when I'm back on Wednesday afternoon, we can look at gloves. But in the short run, we should be able to get you some gloves from the commons, and then we'll order more gloves with the funding that we have for the testing team.
Eliza Jane, didn't we have a lot of gloves? Do we still have any of those?
Yes, there actually are still some gloves, and are they needed for the testing team?
I needed some the other day, and so I had to go buy some. And
oh my gosh, okay.
I called you for tickets because we used to be able to get tickets for the boat, and you said nope.
Right, but I'm sorry that I didn't take it the step further, but I think Donna spoke with you, Nancy. There are no funds left that paid for those tickets in the past, but the recompense grant that was given to the testing team can be used, I believe, for tickets. The one of the issues that's happening is we don't have any central coordination of this. What is the testing team? How does this all of this stuff get disseminated? So I think that's still one of the burning questions that we have.
I didn't know what direction I should go.
Well, I would be glad to. We still have some gloves in stock. So you can speak with me, and I'll get those out to you. But are we going to be giving any information to the Chibi community about the fact that we've had an outbreak and what's been happening?
That's the next thing on the agenda.
Yeah, that's what I just want to make sure we have, like, all of our resource ducks in a row so that communication can go out about those things too, so that we can tell people, you know, expect to see mask handouts. Things of those nature. So I just want to make sure we had those pieces first before we start talking about pieces to include in any kind of communication.
Okay. So when it comes to the masks, trying to clarify, are these masks from the town? I've been handing them out to organizations and people, but I'm a private citizen. And I don't know if some of you know this, but I've been highly criticized for handing masks out. So because I'm a private citizen and not was I representing the town. So I'd like a little clarification on that. Really, I'm glad to be helpful. I'm glad to coordinate the inventory of it. I just would like some clarification on that role there. So I really I'm glad to be the point person, and I'm glad to be the person who's making the placement of the masks in these locations. But I would appreciate some of the direction there. And I also want to say,
the fewer the locations, the easier it is to maintain inventory. So I know we want to have a lot of them available, but everybody has access to the town office, the library, and the rec center. I'm not sure the store hasn't indicated that they want to be a location to hand out the KN95s, but they certainly have access to the disposables. Thank you.
Justin, can Eliza Jane be a volunteer for the town to pass out the supplies that the town owns?
Did Justin leave?
That was to Justin.
Justin, you still there?
Probably gone on the 4 o'clock boat.
I think he's still here. Maybe that could be a follow-up question. I think the logistics of that might be, I mean, I think we can work out the logistics of that. I don't think we need to work that out necessarily right now.
But I think that if we can just say that she's volunteering on behalf of the town, that will probably clarify that.
Yeah, the
criticism she got is ridiculous and should be ignored. I mean, you don't criticize somebody for helping.
I think, it's emotions run high when folks are feeling like they're, I don't know how I want to phrase this diplomatically. but I think, you know, making sure we're all on the same page and that the communication is clear. And I think, you know, Eliza Jane asking for that clarification makes a lot of sense. And so I think that's something we can work the details out around. I also agree that the fewer locations, the better. It makes it easier to maintain inventory. So I think as we move on to the communication aspect of this, I know Erica had sent out a really great email kind of listing some bullet points. And as we've had conversation, other elements have raised up around things like safety guidelines, a lot of questions about FAQs around exposure. I think that I've tried to take notes as best as I can. What Erica put in the chat is essentially what she shared in an email to the CART committee. So for those of you who aren't on the CART committee, you can see what her suggestions were. Basically, the facts surrounding the outbreak on the island, what we're facing in dealing with COVID cases on the island, resources around testing, what we have, and then where might folks go on the mainland, how to do contact tracing, masking reminders. And that's great to bring in some of the things around the KN95s, where they'll be, reminders about physical distancing, and then the CDC guidelines around isolation and quarantine. And some of the links that folks shared earlier, I think are really helpful in addressing some of those things.
I don't want to put Erica on the spot, but Erica, are you willing to work with Justin to try to come up with some kind of a communication? I know you've got the most experience in this and you've put an awful lot of time into it. So I don't want to make you feel like you have to do it, but are you willing to do it?
She notes that she's happy to help, but can't take the lead. So are there other folks who might want to take, share in the drafting of that with the town? I know I'm also happy to be a part of the process. And I think also having somebody from the testing team would be important about that too. Yeah, Jenny.
Yeah, I'd be happy to help. I'm going to be back on Wednesday, but I can email to you. I think Nancy's point that, you know, it started with the testing of kids coming to school is important because there's been suspicions about, you know, visitors coming from Labor Day and whatnot. And I think for people to just know this is community transmission and, you know, nobody needs to be blamed or anything. I think that's important.
So, Justin, are you back on? Okay.
Yes. So
basically, I think Jenny, Erica, and Melissa have volunteered to work with you to come up with some kind of a communication to come out from the town. Does that sound good to you?
Sure. I just need the framework and what you all want in there. I can put it into sentences and stuff, but I need direction on what you want to actually tell people.
And when are you going away? Because this is kind of time.
I'm leaving on Wednesday, but I'll have access to things. So I should be able to check on it in the evening or in between my meetings, things like that. I'm not completely gone. So.
Oh, okay. So they can communicate with you. So
yes, Melissa, absolutely.
Why don't we leave it up to you to coordinate with those three other people?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Erica's outline is really helpful and we can just sort it out on email and get this done by tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep, I think it's really important to be, you know, factual in this and to, again, we're not laying judgment. We're not, we're just reminding folks of some of the precautions that we may have, I don't wanna say let slide because that's not quite the right word either. I mean, I think we all had this wonderful summer and now we're entering into the fall again and have to be reminded of some of these practices that we were really diligent about earlier in the year.
Melissa, I think it's also important that there not be any shame. I think that's kind of what you were saying.
Yeah.
Because yeah. if people feel shamed, then if somebody else gets it in their household, they may not tell anyone. They may do their own testing. They may go to the mainland and in a way that is more dangerous. So, you know, I just think people have to understand this is a disease. People get it and that's the way it goes. And so if we can somehow have that be a positive message, not that we want everybody to go out and get it. I'm not saying that, but just somehow so that people will realize that, you know, people aren't passing judgment.
Yeah, Donna, I agree with you 100%. And I think I'd be happy to send along some, just some verbiage, Melissa, you know, for this, but I also think it's extremely important that that yes, we may be entering back into needing the same precautions as we had last year, but it is not with the anxiety of, gee, if I get COVID, I don't know what's going to happen to me kind of thing for the vaccinated people. And again, another plug, I think the vast majority of people we're talking to are vaccinated or would like to be vaccinated in the case of the kids. But anyway, so I'll be happy to send, do I send it to you, Melissa? Just some verbiage?
Yeah, that works. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Jim. So is there anything else that we need to consider? Any other questions or thoughts that folks have going forward?
I just wondered if there are people who we haven't heard from who have any questions or, yeah, you know, comments. This would be a good opportunity.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. Yeah,
I do like Emily's message.
Yes, thank you, Emily.
Yep.
So Emily shared in the chat, we should be here for each other as a community. Definitely should come with more of a caring response than anything else. Absolutely.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing any other hands or, there we go. I see another hand. Liza Jane, go for it.
Back on again. Okay, so I'm prepared to start distributing the masks. I can do that tomorrow to those three locations. But
the official word on that will come in the letter that will come through Justin, but I'll get that set up tomorrow with the KN95s, and it can become officially announced in the communication that comes from Justin. Does that sound good?
Yep. Yes. Thank you, Eliza Jane.
Yeah.
Justin, you weren't on when we asked a question. I asked the question about, could we designate Eliza Jane as a town volunteer to distribute the masks? So there's a question, there is no question, she's just not a vigilante going out, giving out masks.
Yeah, sure. That's easy enough. We could just put it in the communication that's going out, you know, that if anybody needs the stuff, that she's the one that's going to be bringing it around.
And she's doing it as a town volunteer.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Thank you.
And the other option would be for the request to go to the town office, and then the people at the town office can just call me up and say, could you deliver it? So that's another option as well.
Why don't you guys work that out, work out the logistics?
Okay, we'll do.
So my next question then is Lila when, go ahead.
Lila.
Oh yeah, Lila, I'm sorry. I see your hand blends in with your background.
It's weird.
Let's not forget the request that Anne made for child size masks. Liza Jane, can we put that on the supply list?
Yes, but the question is, do those supplies get paid for by the town or by the recompense money that has gone to the testing team? And I would bounce that to you, Justin.
Well, my question, Liza, I'm going to cut in before Justin, is do we have any money left over from what we bought all those masks that Bo asked us to buy?
No. No, that that purchase was made. It actually was way under what we thought it was when that was approved by the town. But I think it needs to be. So that would just need to be approved by the Board of Selectmen again. Unless the town applies for a recompense grant and gets that money, then that $500 could be spent on child size masks. But I've actually been asking around with the two places where we were ordering supplies last year. None of them have those child sized masks available. The only place that I've seen them available is through Amazon. And I always get a little nervous about ordering from Amazon because you never know about whether it's an authentic certified mask or not. So the disposables are definitely doable. But I think if that's going to be paid for, we really need to talk about where those funds come from.
My suggestion would be that Anne apply for a recompense grant, for a $500 recompense grant, and get them directly for the school.
Yeah, I agree with Donna. That should be a quick turnaround.
That would be cleaner too, because it's a little awkward for town monies to buy things for the school department. It would be better if they got it on their own.
Yeah, so that would make sense if the school got the masks and the town wrote a grant, a mini grant for a hand sanitizer. And so I think that would work.
Great. Just a quick general question that Sally put in the chat around minutes from previous meetings. So I don't know if there's someone who's in charge of the town website, but just the minutes from our CART meetings in the spring. And then I think the recent ones that we've had haven't been posted on the town website. So I don't know. Who would be the person?
I'll look into that.
Great, thanks, Justin.
I'll look into that. Yep.
Great.
I think we lost one set. I think there is one set that is, maybe it was in April. I can't remember. But the other ones are probably floating around.
Yeah. And then Emily posted in the chat about getting kids' place to be included in the littles masks. Especially there's some friends that spend some time between KP and the school. So if that would be feasible as well. All right, so next meeting day. Oh, Anne, sorry, yes.
Yeah, I was muted, I just said we can share.
Okay, all right, excellent. Next meeting date. We've been in the habit of meeting on Thursday afternoons at 4:00. That was our kind of regular time. I know that it's becoming less of an okay time for me now, just personally, with daycare and school and, you know, all the kids coming home at like 4:15, 4:30. So I didn't know if we could shift the time back a little bit to 3:00 perhaps, or find another time to meet. But I just want to make sure we have a next meeting date so we can check in, especially where these situations can be pretty quickly evolving. So we could look at, we had talked about meeting on the 16th, but I don't think we need to have a meeting quite that soon. Do we want to look in at, let me get my calendar up. Too many tabs open. Do we want to wait until the 23rd, or is that too late?
Too late. I suggest we do the 20th.
Okay. So we'll meet in a week, same time, 3:00.
That sounds good.
Okay. Awesome. Excellent. Great. Well, I appreciate this conversation. I really appreciate the work that everyone's doing and the care and concern we all carry for each other and for continuing to help each other stay healthy and have accurate information about especially this Delta variant. And so I think this is really good that we're able to come together in this way to serve the needs of the town. So thank you, everyone.
And a big thank you to Nancy Hill.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, thank you.
Agreed.
Say that again.
Anybody want to take the specimens over tomorrow? I need somebody to volunteer to take the specimens over.
Yeah, I can do that tomorrow.
You'll do it, Michael?
Tomorrow.
Okay. What boat do you want to take?
10 o'clock?
Yes.
10?
10 o'clock? Okay, yeah. Have them down there for you. Thank you.
Yep. Excellent. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Stay safe.
Thanks, everyone.
Please stay safe.